Welcome back to the 9-8 podcast, the home of progressive and underground music right here in Australia. My name is Alex Hogg, and this fortnight I am joined by the Keep Sydney Open candidate for Drumline, Dave Ellis. How are you?
I'm well, mate. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's actually raining here today in Perth, of all things.
Yep, we have had a massive cool change here in Sydney, which is nice because it means probably the hot, crappy shit weather is finally over, one hopes anyway.
Indeed. So, we'll jump straight into some follow-up, and we have follow-up from the last episode, which was our big Dream Theater extravaganza, track by track on the new album.
Yep.
Since we recorded that album, there's been a few more track by track videos released by Inside Out Music TV on YouTube. If you haven't seen those, you really should. We'll put a link in the show notes to that. They are very good.
There's actually been a lot of stuff that's been released, not just by Inside Out, but by, you know, Hardwire and Guitar Magazine and so on and so forth. Even just YouTubers talking about the new album, you know, doing guitar lessons on how to play particular parts of the new album. This album has really gone above and beyond, I think, everyone's expectation.
Absolutely. I will also say as well, maybe because it was The Astonishing and because the original fan reaction to that album was quite muted or negative, they really haven't. But this album, they have gone all in on the social media.
They've really
plugged it in, really gone for it. Did you see there is one cover I'm going to – you mentioned guitar covers and whatnot. There is one I'm going to call out, which is someone has done an acoustic cover of Paralyzed.
Really?
It was linked to in one of the videos. John Petrucci did a video where he was reacting to, you know, one of these react videos that I generally dislike. He was reacting to various guitar players on the internet covering Dream Theater stuff.
And this was one of the ones. Yeah, I saw that. I did see that video, and this actually.
And this video was featured in the, and he was really impressed. It's like, wow, you know, that's a really interesting way to reinterpret the song with the big heavy riff, and he's turned it into like this acoustic bit.
Yeah. I think in that video as well, there was a chick that did the Spirit Carries On and sort of did it like a finger style, Mark Knopfler kind of thing.
Yes.
And it was really cool. Really, really
that
cool.
That was really cool. Yeah. Mm. I think there was another guy as well playing the Dance of Eternity on a six string, which John was like, "Ooh, that's impressive. You know, how's he going to pull that off?" Because
we
could put a link to the show note in the show notes to that particular YouTube video. Generally speaking, I don't like react videos, but this one was quite cool.
Yeah. No, I agree. I'm not a huge fan of react videos either. But they seem to be a thing, and I don't think they're going away for at least a couple of months, you know, at the speed of all this social media stuff is like.
React videos aren't going anywhere as a genre. They are not going anywhere at all. They will be around until the end of time.
You know, but that said, I think they serve a purpose. You know, you do have a lot of these wankers on social media going, "Oh man, I'm going to react to, you know, this guy rapping this thing," and "Oh man, that was a sick line," and all this sort of shit. These people that really don't know they couldn't find their ass with both hands when it comes to music. but I think it's really cool particularly when you have the case of the artist reacting to covers of their stuff, or you know, a vocal coach reacting to how people are singing and then explaining sort of what's going on and what they're hearing. I actually find that stuff really, really interesting because it's more educational than just some dickhead going, "Oh yeah, man, this is sick," you know, one where there's hip hop heads. There's these two hip hop heads, and they keep getting recommended like all this metal to listen to. So they end up reacting to like Dream Theater and Tool and all that. And it's actually really cool because these guys are obviously quite open minded about what they're listening to. I think they do from memory they do the Dance of Eternity, and it's just like, okay, all right, you guys are in for a treat, you know. But anyway, interesting. But
yeah, it is. I was going to say the other, like the flip side to that is the really terrible ones. I remember years ago there was an interview with Yngwie Malmsteen
where they played him. It was like a React video before YouTube, and it was just basically him. It was just basically him slagging off a bunch of people. Oh, he's tone shit. Blah blah blah. He did have some nice things to say about John Petrucci though, because they played him under a glass moon.
All right.
And I think his reaction to it was, oh yeah, he knew Dream Theater and he liked them. And I think the comment he made was that, oh, I can hear in John Petrucci's soloing that it was like, okay, it's a bit of Steve Vai and a bit of this and a bit of that and a bit of this, which I think even John openly acknowledges that solo is kind of like his all his bag of tricks.
Yes.
Because there's sweeping and there's tapping and there's all that, all thing, basically all the big tricks are in there.
Yes. Yeah. And I think if you've ever tried to play it as a guitarist, it's one of those ones where it's like you literally break it down into, okay, here's the tapping section, here's the sweeping section, you know, here's the harmonic section, here's this da-da-da-da-da, you know.
Exactly. And I think what Yngwie was getting at was like, oh, it'd be nice to see, as I think I said with basically the same comment I said about Southern Empire, was that it'd be, you know, there was obviously a lot of talent there, but it'd be nice to see them develop that into more of their own sound rather than just like bits and like sort of, you know, paying homage to all the big prog greats.
Yeah, that's fair.
But speaking of YouTube videos and whatnot, there was a YouTube video put out by Metal Injection where John Petrucci was talking about the album name, which is very interesting because he said they almost called the record Velocity.
So I hate to say we called it. But
I'm not saying he got the idea from us, but
I think it's a pretty standard scientific principle that, you know, but it is interesting that we've been joking about it for the last couple of weeks.
And that it was essentially acknowledged by the band that, oh yeah, I think ever since they announced the name, I think it became a joke. It's like, we'll just call it Velocity.
Yeah.
I think he even acknowledged that, like, Distance Over Time sounds more like a quote-unquote Dream Theater album name.
Yeah.
It kind of sounds a little bit, rather than just calling it Velocity.
Yeah, it does. I mean, Velocity kind of is one of those names that you'd expect, you know, Metallica or something like that to come out with. Distance Over Time has a little bit more of an ethereal sort of look to it. Sound to it, I should say.
Exactly.
Also, Distance Over Time is DT, so...
Yeah, I think that was the other point. That John made that he was trying to get to. It was like, oh, you know, DT, Distance Over Time. It all sort of fit together for them. There is one correction I need to make from our last video. I think I said that the Viper King lyrics were by John Petrucci. They're not. They're actually written by James Labrie.
Oh, there you go.
I got a bit of a bum steer on that one. Turns out that one's a bit of a Marmite track. Actually, I've been reading a lot of comments, and you know,
yep.
There is now a Dream Theater Facebook group. If you would like to join in and chat along with all the Dream Theater fans all over the world, we'll put a link in the show notes to that one. You'll probably see Dave and I in there quite a bit.
More than likely.
Chatting away with people. It's a bit of a Marmite track. People seem to either really, really like it or really, really hate it. I think one person sort of made a bit of a sniffy comment that it sounded a bit too much like Golden Earrings Radar Love.
Yeah,
Jana, what the hell they're talking about there? I was listening to Radar Love before we started recording today, and I don't know what he's talking about.
No, neither do I, frankly. Does it have vibes of some of that 70s prog stuff? Yes, of course it does, but any rock that's going to have that kind of an organ in it is going to sound like the 70s rock prog stuff. So,
exactly.
You know, I mean, it's just sort of, it is what it is. It's just a fun track. I'd really like to see them play it live.
Absolutely.
The thing that kind of, I've got to admit, and I want to put an asterisk on this here, the thing that kind of annoys me now is with this age of Spotify, they've uploaded two versions of the album. So they've got the standard version and then the bonus track version. It's like, well, what's the point in having a bonus track that you get when you pre-order special editions or anything like that if you're just going to release it on Spotify anyway?
Yeah. Also, as well, the Spotify version is pretty low res. Sounds like a sort of a 128. I mean, this is always the problem with Spotify, which has led to people uploading the album to YouTube.
Yes,
you can click on there, and you can
free booted stuff on there.
Yes, there is. However, I flagged this to one of the Dream Theater heads of Dream Theater World. Flagged this to Kim. And he said, oh, no, don't worry about it because it's in the content. It's been tagged in the content ID system.
That's right. Yeah.
So, Inside Out Music is owned by Sony, so it's all in the Content ID system. So all of these people freebooting the album onto the thing are not going to see a damn cent.
Good. And Dreamfield,
they're not going to get a damn thing. Yeah.
The royalties from that, which would be good.
Oh, yeah, I think it'll go to Sony and then it'll get trickled down that way. Yeah. So I think that covers the follow up.
Yeah.
Shall we jump straight into the news? Now, let's get this section straight up out of the way.
Uh-huh.
Dave, you have some shameless self-promotion to do, so fire away.
I got two bits of shameless self-promotion to do this time around. First one, Hoggy mentioned at the start of the show, and that is that I am actually running for Keep Sydney Open, which is a political party here in Sydney and in New South Wales. You guys, you dear listeners, you guys have heard us bang on for a long time about the lockout laws and the crippling effects that that's actually had on the city. There's a political party basically that's standing up against that, and I'm running for them in the seat of Drummoyne. So any and all help for that would be appreciated, even if you're just sharing posts or, you know, doing anything like that. That'd be really good, because obviously our aim is to get into Parliament to make some changes, whether that's in the upper house or the lower house. And it would be nice for me as well, because it would be really nice to become a member of Parliament. It would actually be quite nice. So that's the first bit of shameless self-promotion. And obviously a shout out to the Keep Sydney Open boys for giving me a shot with that. Second bit of shameless self-promotion is, if you are listening to this today, which is on the day of release, which will be the 8th of March 2019, my band, Nothing Like You, we are sort of alternative metal, leaning into the prog sphere. We've just launched our brand new single, which is called Fear the Sun. We're taught to fear the sun. Sitting on this for quite some time. We finally got it all recorded. It's actually mixed and mastered by the fucking powerhouse that is Forrester Savile. And it's I like the track. Now, Hoggy, you've heard it.
I have listened to this one, yes.
What do you think?
I really enjoyed it. I really did like it. I think it's good stuff. I particularly enjoy listening to sort of politically leaning lyrics, which should be a surprise to nobody, given how much I like Roger Waters. So, I really enjoyed the track. I think it's good stuff. We'll put a link in the show notes to the YouTube video.
Yep.
Are you going to release it on any of the other platforms, or is on YouTube?
It will be released on all of that at some point, so people can listen at their leisure. Yeah.
Good stuff. I was just going to say as well, going back to your first piece of shameless self-promotion, if you do manage to get into Parliament, I want two things out of you. Number one, I want you to be able to use your ministerial letterhead to get me out of all the speeding fines that I have. And number two, I want you to be able to use your ministerial letterhead to help bring my fiancé into the country. Because apparently that's a thing that MPs can do now.
Well, probably, yeah. I mean, at least in federal politics, not sure about state. But I mean, you know,
it's all the same. It's all the same. You know how it goes.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
I was going to say, I'll put a quick caveat on that. I am not being serious. Obviously, it's completely tongue in cheek. I'm just taking the piss out of Dave because I can.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fine.
I swear to God, 25% of the show is. And also, as well, if you do get elected, I do reserve the right to just start calling you MP.
I'm not too sure the Dream Theater fans would be happy with that, because I can't drum to save my life.
oh, God, I just realized that.
then again, according to half of the Dream Theater fans, neither can Mike Mangini. So,
Can we just stop and pause on that one? I was going to say, I cannot believe that people are still bitching about this I mean, it's been, what, 9 years since Mike Portnoy left the band, and he is still copying comments online from people saying, come back to Dream Theater. It's like, oh, for crying out loud.
It's even worse than that, really, because there was actually a really cool video that was released a couple of days ago. I can't remember which of the metal sites did it, but it was an interview with Mangini about the drum parts and all that sort of stuff. And they said to him, you know, what do you think about, how do you feel about these people who, you know, constantly compare you to Mike or anything like that? And I think from memory in the video, he says, you know, it's just heartbreaking because I love these drum parts that he's written, but these people should really stop trying to get the band to be something that it's not, or me to get something that to be something that I'm not, or Mike to be something that he's not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, this is the way it is now. And I thought that was actually a really, really humane and level-headed response, considering he could have just sat there and gone, fucking fans, you're all cunts, you know.
Exactly. So. He could have just said, fuck the hater. You know, haters going to hate, essentially.
Yeah. Done a Taylor Swift on it.
But this is, you see this problem in all the, a whole bunch of bands, you know. We'll take the classic example of, like, Fish with Marillion. People are saying, wouldn't it be nice if Fish got back together with the rest of Marillion? And it's like, that'll never, ever happen. Nobody's interested.
And even if it did, people are looking at Golden Era stuff.
Yes. Right? So, rose-coloured glasses and all
exactly.
that sort of thing.
It won't be the same.
In that specific case, it can't be the same.
Exactly.
Fish can't sing in those keys anymore, and the band can't play it in the keys that he wants to sing it in.
Well, there you go.
Sugar Mice, the song Sugar Mice, it's in G.
Mm-hmm.
When Fish does that song live now, he plays it in C because he can't sing up that high anymore. So it's not a simple case of whack a capo on or detune a guitar. The whole thing has been reorchestrated and rewritten.
Yeah, that's massive. That's massive.
So... No, and the band won't play it in the key that Fish wants to sing it in. Fish can't sing it in the key the band wants to play it in. So it, from a purely practical point, it won't work. But this is not me talking. I remember this on one of the Marillion forums, this argument ran on and on and on and on and on to the point that Steve Rothery logged in and said, now look.
Jesus.
Yeah, he got involved because I think the comment thread ran to something like about 1,000 comments at one point.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Shit.
It takes quite a bit for an argument to rage on that one of the band will jump in and say, look, the whole thing is moot.
Exactly. We've established now that I am not a drummer. However, in a couple of weeks' time, I might reserve the right to call myself MP, and other people will as well. Whether or not that happens remains to be seen, but obviously I'm going to give it a red hot crack. And obviously everyone that's listening should totally go and check out my band because we're awesome. And we are actually playing in Sydney on the night of the election. So the 23rd of March, which is the state election night, we've actually got a gig at the Hideaway. We're headlining there. So you should all come down and check us out. Wear your Keep Sydney Open shirts, or even better, just come with a plain white shirt and I'll write Fear the Sun on the front. So totally up to everyone that wants to come along. Now, away from shameless self-promotion, we need to talk. A good friend of mine, who actually does the lighting for a band that I bang on about a lot on here, Osaka Punch, Dale Prince, or Princey, I'm not quite sure how to say his last name. I just normally point
him
and
say,
mate.
You don't know how to say his surname.
not his surname. I know how to pronounce it. His first name, Dale, is pretty easy, right? But, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's Prince. It's P-R-I-N-S-S-E or something like that. Some strange spelling. Anyway, he's the new bassist for Killigrew's Horse.
Hey.
So, formerly from Opus of a Machine, the bass player from Opus of a Machine, if anyone here has actually seen them, you'll know that Dale is sort of the light on the stage. He sort of runs and jumps around, and he's a bit more active, I suppose, on stage than the other guys in Opus.
My everlasting memory of him is like the faces.
Yes.
He's like all the fun faces and stuff. So now, see if I can get this right. He's left Opus of a Machine to join Caligula's Horse, or is he pulling double duties?
I don't know. I have a sneaking suspicion he's probably pulling double duties.
Yeah, it certainly sounds that way from what I read on
on their Facebook page. The short version is their original bass player, Dave Cooper, has had a lot of has had some health problems recently, and so he's decided to unfortunately decided to leave the band to concentrate on that, which is a real shame, and it's quite sad to hear that. And so, yeah, Dale has joined the band. I believe they are working on some new material, which might be out sometime shortly, which which would be nice to hear.
Yeah, it will be nice to hear. I mean, their previous album, though, was just a monster of an album.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And seeing that live, just absolutely, oh, man, it was good. But, yeah, it's big congratulations there to Dale, and a shout-out to him, because not only is he just a really good bass player, he's a really awesome guy, and I have no shame in saying that he slept on my couch and he had to jump my fence. To get out in the morning. So there's a story to that. After seeing Cog, because the Sucker Punch was supporting Cog, we wound up going for beers afterwards. We had a couple of beers and all that, and he ended up crashing at my place here in Sydney. And then he had to get up early the following morning because he had a flight to Melbourne, and he went out the wrong door down the bottom. And wound up having to go over the fence.
I did the same thing too, didn't I?
I was about to say, you did the same thing. The difference was I was home, so I could let you out, or something like that. But yeah, so anyway, very interesting. But congratulations to Dale for joining, you know, probably one of the best prog bands coming out of Australia at the moment, and definitely right up there with some of the other big guys. On a slightly different note, there's been some calls for a massive reunion tour, sort of not in the way you'd think. The Butterfly Effect are touring, and if the fans have their way, which I'm thinking they won't, but if the fans have their way, we could see a pretty monster lineup.
When do the fans ever get their way? Let's be honest. When do the fans ever get their way?
I don't know. Didn't Metallica do a thing for a while where they were like letting the fans select the set list?
Yeah, bands have done that quite a bit. Marillion did that at a convention weekend, actually. Mm. It wasn't pick the set list, it was like either or. And everybody had glow sticks. And it was if you want to hear this song, wave the glow stick. If you want to hear the other song, wave the glow stick. Unfortunately, once the fans managed to basically strong arm the band into playing both songs, it was like a choice between Great Escape or Easter. They managed to strong arm the band into playing both the songs by just not allowing them to continue by just chanting Great Escape, Great Escape. And then they played both of them. And then after that, they kind of just gave them shit choices.
Yeah.
Like, it's like this song, or I think it was like, how did it go? Oh, yeah, it was like, I think one of the choices with the songs was Between You and Me or Most Toys. Uh-huh, and pretty much everybody hates Most Toys, so they just basically gave them no choice. It's like, okay, if this is how this is going to end, we're just taking the choice away from you now. Stuff is. So,
fans.
Anyway.
So
Butterfly Effect, the Butterfly Effect are touring, which will be fantastic. Have not actually seen the Butterfly Effect play before.
Then you need to rectify that immediately.
Yes, I do. I believe I will actually be at home for that particular gig.
Yep.
When's the tour? When is the tour? I think it's in August, isn't it?
It's in August, yeah.
It is in August, yeah. I should be home for that one. It's at the Metropolis in Fremantle. Not my favourite gig in the world. Not my favourite gig venue in the world, but never mind. They need a big place. It's of the sort of mid-tier gig places in Perth. It's probably the biggest one. So certainly bigger than Capital. And
I think they're playing the Metro here. But there's been a few calls. They actually put out
Real-time follow-up. If you haven't got a ticket for that one, Dave, then you're screwed because it's sold out.
I'll get a ticket. I'm not too worried about that.
I have my ways.
Yeah, I have my ways. The whole thing with this is they actually put out a call to find out who that should support them in the
I've seen a lot of bands do
cities
this. I've
so
seen
so
a lot of bands do this.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of things. This is happening a lot. That seems to be happening a lot across numerous different genres, but mostly in that rock, prog, metal kind of scene. You know, I think they're trying to pull bands out of the woodwork to try and, you know, give them some experience and such. Obviously, we've gone into the put our hat into the ring for that one, which I think they very quickly stopped. They actually changed the. I think they edited the post to say, instead of saying who should support us, it now just says, hey, get your tickets or whatnot. Because we had
They got bombed.
Sorry, go on.
Oh, I was just going to say they got bombed with comments. I know that much.
Yeah, they did, and I think we had about 200 people on there requesting us as well, which was really interesting.
Hopefully, it works out for you.
Oh, let's hope. However, there was one post on there that caught my eye because someone jumped on there and said, "Oh, why don't you just get Carnival and Cog to support?" which is not going to happen.
Carnival as a support for the Butterfly Effect.
I know.
What the hell?
I know. It would be the other way around, one would think.
Yes.
However, I can dream, and that would
be
a
ball. We can all dream. I remember I've got a great quote from an old chef boss of mine who once said, "You can wish in one hand and crap in the other." And I'll tell you, and I can tell you now which one will fill up first.
Oh, that's too good.
He was great for a lot of good quotes. That one's one of my favourites.
Oh, bloody hell, that's pretty good. You should all just grab the tickets to that. Anyway, Sydney apparently sold out, so you should grab tickets to your capital city.
Yes, absolutely. They are playing Perth, Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane. Adelaide getting skipped over because, I'm terribly sorry, Adelaide gets skipped over. That's just how things work. Miracle of miracles, they're even coming to Perth.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of, I did see an interview with James LaBrie where he was talking. Somebody asked him because I think it's written in the law. I think it's law that if you're an Australian interviewing a band that's not Australian, you have to ask when they're touring Australia. I think that's law. I think that's how that works. It's certainly how it works in the Merlion forums, because if you're an Australian and you ever meet one of the band, you have to ask them. I think it's written in the charter somewhere. You have to ask them about touring Australia.
Yes.
I know, yeah. I'm guilty of it.
They are playing Adelaide.
Oh, they are? Oh,
yeah. Yeah, real-time follow-up. cool. So they're playing the HQ in Adelaide, they're playing Metropolis in Fremantle, the Tivoli in Brisbane,
that's right.
Metro in Sydney, and the Forum in Melbourne.
I do remember that, yeah, because I remember someone saying, why on earth are they playing the HQ, that shit? I don't know, I've never been to Adelaide to see anything there, so who knows? Maybe it is shit, I don't know. So... anyway, we were talking about touring, and I did see we were talking about James LaBrie. Somebody asked him, you know, are you going to tour Australia? And he was saying that they are trying to get, I think they referred to it as an Asian Pacific tour lined up for the fall, which would be about September time, I think.
Yeah.
And he was hoping, pure speculation, of course, hoping that they could get... they could do more cities rather than just Sydney, Melbourne. Yep. He was hoping that they were going to maybe, you know, Brisbane, Adelaide, Perth, because they haven't played in Perth for 10 years.
Yes.
They haven't played, anywhere that's not Sydney, Melbourne, they haven't played there for 10 years. So I think he wants to try and get out, you know, get to more cities and do that. It'd be really nice if they could. Do I think that's going to happen? No.
Well, economics of touring.
Indeed.
Which we've spoken about. You know, quite a bit on the show.
Yes.
That said, I would love to see it.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
It'd be great.
Absolutely.
It'd be
really, really nice to see them play more than just Sydney and Melbourne. Great for me personally, because then it means I don't have to spend $500 on an airline ticket to go across to see them.
Yep.
Or as happened on the last tour. Yeah, was it the last one? Yeah, the last tour where I missed it completely. Mm-hmm. Although that wasn't an economic thing. That was actually out of the country.
I was going to say there's a few new tracks that have come out over the last couple of days. One of which is the new Devin Townsend single.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The new single, Genesis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Really interesting video clip. Just him sitting behind a desk and, like, a weird green screen thing.
Yep. and gratuitous references to cats all the way through the entire thing, including that bit in the middle. What's the bit with the octopus? What is the deal?
I don't know.
Like the octopus on the desk, and then in the section where the octopus, like, it's like a hand puppet coming out of the sea. What's up with that?
I don't know.
He has a very, very weird sense of humor.
He has a strange sense of humor. But what a musician. Mm. And that track is another one in a long line of holy fuck tracks. So,
yes. You know. I did pre-order that album, and I have as well ordered a whole bunch of his records because they were having a big sale. So I'm like, ooh, this is an opportunity to sort of get up to speed with a whole bunch of Devin Townsend records that I haven't heard. So I'm awaiting delivery for that. The record comes out on March the 29th. So that's in about 3 weeks' time.
Yeah.
So definitely looking forward to that. We'll be we'll go through that record when it comes out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one other band that has released a new track. Well, I mean, there's so many bands that have released new tracks in the last little while. But Voyager have released a new single called Bright Star. Now, have you had a chance to listen to this?
Yes, I have. I had a chance to listen to this.
What do you think?
Oh, yeah. It's a great song. There's a lot of big riffs in there. Yeah. It's a great song. I can't wait to see that live. I'm so pissed that I missed them play. They were playing here in Perth last weekend. I wasn't here. I missed it. So
was that with 12 Foot Ninja?
I think so. Might have been actually. I missed it completely. I wasn't in town, unfortunately, which is a real bummer.
I'll catch up
with them. Going back to what we were talking about earlier about the Butterfly Effect, if I had to pick a bet as to who I think will probably open for Butterfly Effect, if they have like two openers, if it was me picking the bill, it'd be Voyager and Chaos Divine opening for the Butterfly Effect. I think that's probably a little bit too. You can argue the toss about which way around it should go, but that's just me being boring me if I had to pick openers. Mm. But what I suspect will happen is they'll have somebody else opening, and you know, and then maybe Voyager as well.
Yeah, well, I reckon who would be good would be Toe Hider.
That would be nice, but there's no way in hell he'd come out here to play for him. He'd come out here to open for him.
That's true. I'm thinking of the one in his city.
Yeah, you're talking about probably open for them in like Melbourne or something.
Yeah. That'd be really, really cool. Obviously, we've put our name in the ring as well in Sydney, which would be really awesome. So the new Voyager track, lots of fun. When I first heard it, I was playing it. And I missed it. I actually missed it on the night that it was supposed to go live. And it didn't. I missed it on Triple J on the night it was supposed to go live. So then I had to listen to it after the fact, like the following day or something. And I started playing it, and my missus was home because she was working nights doing some archaeology stuff of an evening. And she goes, the second it started up, she goes, well, someone let Danny loose on the synths again.
There is a lot more synth on this track than there usually is. I mean, it seems like the synth only gets let out of the bag every now and then.
Yeah. And it's I kind of like that.
It's not on all the songs.
100%, and it's not an overused trope, which is really, really nice.
The keytar is a bit of an awful trope. I will give you that. The keytar is a bit of an awful trope, but when used well and used sparingly, it's kind of fun. And who doesn't like fun in the band? Who doesn't like fun in music? Monsters, that's who doesn't.
Yeah, so lots of fun, that particular track, which is, you know, just an absolute ball terror of a track, as to be sort of expected, you know. You know, I mean, the great thing about Voyager is that they have Sim as a guitarist, which brings us sort of quite nicely to our main topic for today.
Yeah, on the day of release today, the 8th of March 2019, is International Women's Day.
Hey.
Yeah, it should be a surprise to absolutely nobody that metal music is sort of kind of overpopulated with a lot of men in metal. It should be a surprise to nobody. You know, you go see a band and the audience is predominantly men, the people on stage are predominantly men. So we thought it'd be nice to kind of have a little walk through some bands and some artists that are female.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, we mentioned one already, and that is Voyager, who have Simone, who's one of the guitarists. Not only is she a fucking good guitarist, she a damn good guitarist. She's just an all-round really nice person from what I have heard. I know it sounds like I'm saying that and I'm surprised. I'm not surprised. I'm just... This is the tricky thing about doing stuff, talking about International Women's Day as sort of as from the other side of the gender lines, is that
as like two white dudes.
I don't want anyone.
Yeah,
it's two white dudes talking about International Women's Day. Some things we say are probably gonna come off like we're being, you know, mansplaining or some shit like that. We're genuinely
or just
not,
horribly dismissive.
Or just horribly dismissive, but genuinely not. It's just kind of how we talk generally. And anyone who's listened to this podcast knows how we speak about a whole bunch of different stuff anyway. So hopefully that will shield us somewhat from the trolls online and from the keyboard warriors who want to start arguing with us about why women can't play guitar as well because they don't press the frets hot and hard enough and shit like that, which I've genuinely heard someone argue with me. I've actually had someone argue with me about that in the past.
Really? Really?
Yeah, I remember a guy when I was at uni tell me why men guitarists sound completely different to female guitarists. It's because their fretting hand isn't as strong. Like the female's fretting hand isn't as strong, and therefore they actually do things differently, so he can immediately tell whether or not someone's a female or a male playing on a track. And I'm like, you are so full of shit, buddy. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, that is the biggest bunch of bullshit I've heard in music for a long time. I mean, we live in an age of, like, people talking bullshit on the internet and, you know, one of them was in a big White House in Washington because I had to go there. But anyway, caveats caveats placed on the discussion. Now let's actually talk about. And there are obviously some pretty big names. I mean, Annika, you're going to have to help me out with this one, Dave. I suck with Dutch names and I've fucked every single one of them up every single time I've done it. Is it, you have a look at the link, the first one. Is it Annika van Gisbergen? Have I said that right?
Annika van Gisbergen, probably.
You speak German. I was going to say, you speak German, probably have a better swipe at it than I am.
Yeah, Annika van, no, okay, that's Dutch.
I know it's Dutch. Like I said, I fuck Dutch names up all the time.
I would say Gisbergen, but van Gisbergen, I would say, you know,
Yep. So there are some pretty big names in the prog sphere that, you know, Annika van Gisbergen, of course, from The Gathering. Lee Douglas of Anathema, obviously. There are some other ones that we wanted to talk about that are probably a little bit lesser known, I suppose. And speaking of new singles and new songs, Seams, which we saw at Progfest, they have put a new single out off their forthcoming EP 3.1.
Yes.
Catchy name, very catchy name.
Yeah, it's like a surround sound system that isn't finished.
So they've released they have a new single out from the EP isn't out yet. That won't be out for a couple of weeks yet, but they have released a new song from that EP called Trans. Oh God, I didn't even bother to look at the name. Look at us being professional podcasters.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Transcendence.
Yes, Translucence.
Translucence.
Yes, no, I had to get that right. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So they've got the new single from the album, from the EP 3.1. The single is called Translucence. Have you had a chance to listen to it, Dave? What do you think?
I have. Yeah. And you know what? It sounds like Seems, which is fine. I have no issues with Seems sounding like Seems. It's that kind of math prog post rock stuff that they do, and they do very well. I have to admit.
Yeah, there's a lot of instrumentation mixed in. We've got violins, you've got synths. Mm-hmm. I think there's a trumpet in there somewhere.
Yep.
It's a very big, and then there's kind of almost like in three parts. There's like a real heavy bit, and then there's like this sort of lighter synthy part. And really, really liked it actually. Definitely a band I want to keep an eye out on.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were really, really good at Progfest, and they were really, really good at Progfest last year as well. You know, they're extremely, extremely talented musos, and, you know, I was having a quick chat to one of the guys from Seems the other day, and he basically said, look, I don't work with untalented musicians. And I know that sounds really horrible, but he said, you know, basically if you can't play in particular time signatures, if you can't, you know, play to a click, you can't do really basic stuff, then you're not going to join the band. It's just not going to happen. The guitarist for this band is a female lady. The guitarist for this band is obviously female. That's what we're talking about. Obviously an extremely, extremely accomplished musician. Brilliant to watch how she works on stage and so on and so forth. That being said, probably the most uninteresting person I've ever had to photograph, because she basically stands there and stares at her feet. And that's not a slag on her being female or anything like that. Just, you know, a bit of stage presence wouldn't hurt. And that being said, it's pretty hard to do that in that particular type of music.
I'm assuming, like, I've seen a couple of math rock guys, and they're generally concentrating on counting the damn thing out, you know, trying to keep in time and move with the change in times and all the rest of it.
Exactly.
And also as well, if I had to hedge my bets, I would say probably most, if not all, of the band are probably classically trained. So
I think most of them are trained in something. Most of them are trained in jazz from memory.
Jazz musicians, of course, not exactly world renowned for being particularly expressive while they're playing.
That's true. Yeah, they let the instruments do the talking, which is fine, which I think is a great way to do it. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I had a bit of a rummage through my musical catalogue as well, and I dug up a band called Ars Nova, which are a Japanese trio of ladies.
Yes.
And they play music in the style of almost like ELP kind of stuff.
Yeah, right.
The band started off at, they're not all, there is a gentleman on the guitar now, I think. But most of the band are ladies, and I've had a listen to some of it. They're definitely influenced by ELP and Rick Wakeman and stuff like that. They've been around for a while. They've been around since the 80s. A lot of Hammond organ on their stuff. So definitely worth checking out if you can find their material. I had a bit of a rummage around trying to find some of their stuff, and there are a few YouTube videos kicking around, so I'll put a link in the show notes to that. This is good stuff there. There is another artist that I wanted to mention, which is Jennifer Rothery. As you correctly pointed out earlier on before we started recording, yes, that is a relation to Steve Rothery. It's his daughter. She has released some music. She was recording some stuff under another name, under Sylph. I'll put a link in the show notes to that if you wanted to listen to that. I think she's got a really, really great voice. She opened for, when I saw Marillion last year in the Netherlands, she was opening for all of those shows with the keyboard player from Ranastrain, Ricardo Romano. And he was playing keyboards as well. And so she sung a couple of his songs, a couple of her songs. And yeah, really, really talented vocalist, actually. She's got an EP coming out sometime this year, apparently. So stay tuned for that. I'm sure we'll probably discuss that a bit more.
Fantastic. I suppose the question is, though, Hoggy, why do you think we've seen this rise in women in the music sphere? I mean, it's not just in the prog and metal sphere, though that's probably the most interesting because it has been a traditionally dominated, male-dominated sort of area. We've started to see sort of a rise in the rock and pop sort of areas. I mean, the pop area has been there for quite some time, but particularly in the sort of rockier side of rock. Pop. God damn it. All right. But particularly in the sort of rockier side of pop, we've seen a rise in you know, female fronted bands. You know, I mean, I think of Paramore off the top of my head being one that's probably spurred a lot of people on, particularly a lot of women into, you know, doing music and so on and so forth. Why do you think it's sort of happening in the way it is now? Do you think it's access to the internet and people are just able to sort of pick up a guitar and start learning through YouTube and then all of a sudden they start and they join a band and blah, blah, blah? What do you think it is?
Well, I think you've probably hit the nail on the head. I think because the barrier to entry into music now is so low. I mean, anyone can record anything from their bedroom these days. I think because the barrier to entry is so low, it's easier now than it probably ever has been for people and for women to record and get their music out there. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily need a record executive to sign off on something, and we can wax lyrical about how horribly sexist the music industry has been, probably still is. We've covered this already as well. You were mentioning, I forget the lady's name, the rapper that you knew.
Fresh Violet.
Yes, exactly.
Because
she doesn't, because of prejudices and against ladies of a certain age. I mean, we see this in Hollywood all the time, you know. Harrison Ford could be 70 something odd years old and have a leading lady next to him 40 something years younger than him.
Yeah.
You know, I'm assuming the same, you know, there's no assumption. I know the same sort of stuff existed in the music industry where there were, you know, horrible sexism and stuff. Now all of those barriers to entry in that sort of space are gone. I think it's easier for people now to record and people, you know, it's easy to get this stuff out. So I don't think it's any surprise that there's been an explosion in that space of people putting their, get people getting their music out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what's really interesting as well is there's a lot of different influences coming through. So, I mean, my girlfriend's tinkering with doing some stuff as well, musically, with a couple of her friends, and I'm helping her with it, you know, just to get some of the sounds out of her head. And the stuff she's coming up with is actually really interesting. It's completely not what I would do. And you just get that between two different people, right, who sort of don't work together. They come at it from very different angles. But it's really interesting to hear what she does. And it's almost as if her beat making and so on and so forth is fucking phenomenal, to be really honest with you. It's bloody brilliant. And I'm not saying that because she's my girlfriend. I'm saying it because it's actually fucking good. And she listens to a lot of that kind of cool stuff, you know. And then on top of that, I feel that women in, particularly in advertising, PR and so on and so forth, just have a lot more balls. They'll dump money into things and see if it works. You know what I mean? Whereas I think the guys have been running the show for so long now that they're either A, complacent, or B, they're not risk takers anymore. So instead of dropping $100 onto, you know, a Facebook ad for a band, they'll go, let's maybe put 20 or 25 on it, you know, and just see what happens. Whereas I think a lot of the women out there will, you know, be able to sort of utilize all that a lot better, and they're a bit more risk takers.
I was going to say, I did see a vlog by a YouTuber that I follow, Samurai Guitarist, and he was talking about how Taylor Swift is like the new guitar hero. In the same, like, we don't really have guitar heroes in the same sense of like people like Eddie Van Halen or whatever, you know, big shredders and stuff. that want to inspire people, that inspired people to pick up their guitars, you know, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
The kids these days, or at least young girls these days, seem to be more are inspired to pick up the guitar by Taylor Swift. And that is where, and then if they're, you know, and then, you know, okay, that's the genesis for them picking up their guitar, for example, and then maybe they get into other styles or they listen to other music or whatever. He was talking about how he was teaching guitar for a while, and he was in a room full of girls, and he'd ask them, oh well, what made you pick up a guitar, what makes you want to do guitar? Every single one of them, bar one, said Taylor Swift. And then the other one looked at him with a straight, and the one that didn't sort of looked at him with a straight face and said, AC/DC. That was the influence.
So the question, I suppose, off the back of that then is, do you think it's to Taylor Swift's kind of like the gateway drug? And then
if you want to put it like that.
And then it just goes further than that, and these people end up, you know, they might have older brothers or something who are into Slipknot and all that sort of stuff, and they start getting into that sort of scene, that sort of music. Because the reason I ask this is because I go to a lot of gigs, right? We've had this conversation before, and the amount the amount of people that I see, particularly at metal shows and heavy rock shows and all that sort of stuff, who are completely different. I mean, you probably would have seen it there at Progfest when you were over here. But you had people wearing like Dream Theater shirts, and you had people wearing all black, and then you had, you know, some people wearing, you know, 70s rock outfits. And then it just seems like all different walks of life are coming from that. So I suppose, you know, do you think that maybe Taylor Swift is kind of, as I said, the gateway drug? And then they start getting into this heavier sorts of styles of music, and they start, you know, going, okay, I actually want to be a good guitarist as opposed to a pop star, or a good musician as opposed to a pop star.
Yeah, I think that's probably a pretty fair point to say. The other thing I was going to say about prog is that we spoke about this before, is like there's almost like two sort of worlds of prog. You've got the metal stuff, you know, bands, you know, and the gent and that, and then you've got the bands like Numidia or Anubis or something like that, where they're coming from more that sort of more rock kind of 70s kind of sound, rather than the newer sort of genty metal sounds want to sound like Tesseract sort of thing.
Yeah.
So when you've got both of those worlds combining, then is where the interesting stuff starts to happen.
That's right. Which is probably where we're headed toward. I mean, there's been some great female fronted bands as well. I mean, I mentioned one before being Paramore, who just brilliant. You know, particularly that album Riot, which was probably is probably one of my favorite albums of all time. But you've also got some pretty heavy stuff now. You've got, you know, Arch Enemy. There's also a few new sort of screamers coming out as well. There's a chick that I follow on YouTube, Lauren Babick, I think her name is, from memory. And she sounds note for note like Spencer Sotelo from Periphery.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And does the growls and the screams and everything as well. It's impressive, you know. I suppose, how long do you think it's going to take for the stigma to wear off, though?
Oh, that's a good question. Stigma in what way? What do you mean?
You know, the stigma of, particularly in Western society, you know, that whole, oh, women shouldn't be doing, you know, that, it'll destroy their vocal cords, you know. You know, women shouldn't playing guitar. Women shouldn't be in rock bands, you know. They should be the groupies, that kind of stuff. Like, do you think it's gone? Do you think that mentality is still there? Do you think it's going to take another 10 years to die?
Controversial opinion. I think that mentality is always going to exist, is always going to, I mean, is it ever going to be the dominant way of thinking again? No. Is it always going to exist? Yes, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be this sort of MRA incel dickheads out there that are just hate women because, you know, they expect, you know, they see women like a vending machine. If you put enough kindness into it, sex falls out. That seems to be how they seem to think about it.
Jesus. Oh, fuck.
That's how they think about it. I'm not supporting that viewpoint in any way, shape, or form. I think they are horrible people, but that seems to be the way that they think about it.
Yep.
That is always going. I think that's always going to exist, and they've got themselves in a nice little walled garden off where they can sit around and talk about how much they all hate women. That will mm-hmm. exist.
Mm-hmm.
But is it ever going to become the dominant way of thinking? No, they're always. But mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I don't think it's ever going to go away. And annoyingly, you know, I think you take a look at what happened with Gamergate, and you know. People, I mean, mm-hmm. did video game journalists having their home details posted online, and you know, mm-hmm. Brianna Wu had to flee, like her and her family had to flee her house because mm-hmm. some dickhead posted stuff, and then the FBI found the guy, and then they did fuck all about it. You know, anyway,
yeah.
So annoyingly, I don't think it's ever going to go away. But yeah, it at least seems to be getting better, becoming a better space for women to express themselves in music.
Yeah. And I have to say, I mean, big ups to the prog and metal communities, I think, particularly for, I mean, there's no doubt that, you know, we've mentioned Taylor Swift already, but there's no doubt that people like Taylor Swift and particularly the Trailblazers back in the 70s, Carole King and, you know, all those sorts of, you know,
Kate Bush,
yeah, those big trailblazers early on in the piece. Nowadays, I mean, Taylor Swift is doing somewhat a similar sort of thing as well. But big ups, I think, to the metal community, because I've honestly never been involved in a community that is so accepting of so many different people around.
Absolutely.
But also at the same time, that as you mentioned, there are some, you know, dickheads who think you put enough kindness into a woman and sex falls out, as you said, which is just...
I'm not endorsing that. It's a comment I read on the internet somewhere. No, it's a comment I read on the internet somewhere. And I thought it was an interesting representation of how that scene sort of views women.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a very apt description of how that scene views women, to be really honest with you.
Yeah.
But it's all, I mean, the reality is we are now poised in a world where, you know, women are becoming far more prevalent in rock, in prog, in metal, in, you know, numerous different ways. I mean, there's a lot of YouTube celebrities out there who are women who aren't talking about makeup. You know, they're not talking about, mm-hmm. you know, cooking
handbags.
Or anything like that. That were handbags, exactly. They're talking about the new drum. I mean, Maitel Cohen, for example, is a drummer from, I think she's from Israel, from memory. And she's phenomenal. Like, she's a fucking good drummer. And she's been going for years and years on that channel, like years and years and years and years. There's also a lot of young guitarists and young musicians now coming through, a lot on Instagram as well, which is really interesting.
Okay.
There's a few I follow on Instagram.
Instagram is a space I need to get into, I think. It might be. The one thing I was going to say is that maybe, you know, let's put a shout out to our listeners out there. If there are any, you know, any YouTubers or any people that you follow that you that are women that you think we should follow, send us a link. You know,
yeah,
drop
absolutely.
Us an email. You know, tweet at us. We are at 98FM. Tweet at us and let us know. Uh-huh. You know, put us on the whole point of the show is that we want hopefully try and sort of generate a community of people that sort of share music and stuff that they're interested in. You know, there's so much out there at the moment. So you know, send us some links.
Yeah,
please.
Absolutely.
Please do.
And likewise, if you're a musician from, you know, Australia or from anywhere, and you're female, you want to, you know, get some notoriety out there and get us to listen to your stuff and give you an honest opinion on what we think about it. You know, this is an episode
absolutely.
That I've been wanting to do for some time as well, Hoggy, is to do an episode on our listeners and their music. You know, obviously you'd have to share us with, be willing for us to share some stuff of yours on the podcast as well. But, you know, I mean, get us out there. You know, send us some stuff. Get us to review it. We're more than happy to do anything like that.
Absolutely.
So I suppose that the final question for this then is, who do you think are the women in rock, in metal, in, or even just in the music industry in general, to watch over the next sort of couple of years.
I know Annika van Gisbergen is working on her new band VWR, V-W-R. So I'd be very interested to see where that goes. That's probably the one from me. What about you, Dave? You probably got a few more. Other than the ones we've already mentioned. I mean, we've mentioned Seams. We've mentioned Voyager as well. We've obviously mentioned Jennifer Rothery and Anathema. Who else, Dave? What else have you? Who else?
There's a band. I can't remember where they're from, but they're called Ginger. That's spelt J-I-N-J-E-R. And they have a few songs out. One's called Pisces. There's Just Another. There's Ape. Who's going to be the one? They're kind of like some. They're like Arc Enemy meets Periphery. That's the best way I can sort of describe their sort of sound. Female fronted, very heavy. Not really my kind of thing that I normally listen to, just because it's a little bit too Cookie Monster vocals for my liking. But, you know, phenomenal musos. Absolutely phenomenal musos.
Real time follow up. They are from Ukraine.
Ah, there you go. Ukrainian. They're from Ukraine. It's definitely something to watch as well.
Sorry, Dave, I have to jump in here. This is a particularly sore point. It is not the Ukraine. It is just Ukraine. That's a whole other regional thing that we can skip straight past.
Right. Okay.
Death metal vocals and the Cookie Monster vocals from a lady, you say?
Yes.
That's really interesting. Yeah, I will I'll definitely have to check that out. I've not heard of this band before, but I'll definitely check them out.
They're really cool. You know, it is interesting, I think, that a lot of that stuff is coming out of the Eastern Bloc. And there is some seriously good music coming out of the Eastern Bloc, some seriously good musicians, some seriously good, talented young women across the music industry, but particularly in the prog scene coming out of Europe, but particularly Eastern Europe.
We spoke earlier as well about, you know, the sort of the shattering of the you know, the barriers to entry and, you know, women being marginalized in the music industry. Nowhere is that more prevalent than Eastern Europe, unfortunately. There still exists some pretty horrible sexist opinions about women in that part of the world. Yeah. Even from our generation.
Yeah. That's that part of the world, isn't it? You know, I'm not saying it's right.
That's literally how
it happens in that part of the world, which is, I think, really sad. Particularly if people are being marginalized because they want to follow music, or they want to follow, you know, if they want to be a doctor or something like that, and then it's, you know, you can't do that because you're a woman. I mean, fuck's sake.
As we've discussed before on the show, my fiance is Bulgarian. I mean, and to get like some, you know, comments at gigs that, oh, you know, are you like a, you know, somebody's, you know, you're only here because you're like somebody's girlfriend, or you want to sleep with one of the band or something. And she's like, no, I'm here because I like the music.
Yeah, that's fucked.
You know, I'm not here just, people see women at a show and just instantly assume that they're a groupie? And it's like, ugh. Anyway, we have. I don't really know where to go from there, frankly.
No, well, I mean, I think it's
for a show about International Women's Day, we have spent a lot of time talking about how horrible men are.
Well, yes. I mean, it's. I think it's a valid point. You know, to actually talk about that, because, I mean, you know, there's a certain amount of, I suppose, self-looking, that's not really a term. There's a certain amount of introspective watching you've sort of got to do, particularly in today's day and age, where, you know, and I try my best to build people up, not to tear them down. You know, my sort of adage on everything is, if something is good, I'll say it's good. If something is bad, I'll say it's bad. You know what I mean? The concern that I have had for a very long time, and I think there's a lot of people who have the same concern as I do, is that you're either seen as pandering, if you say, oh, you know, this particular band is really cool, it's got a female fronted singer, da, 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 and they're like, oh, you're only saying that, particularly generally it's those assholes we were talking about before who's, oh, you only like it because it's got a female front singer. No, I like the music, you fucking knob.
Yes, and then likewise, exactly.
Sometimes you can be seen as being too harsh if you say, eh, I don't really like it, like the female vocals. I've got a mate of mine who hates female vocals in rock. He just doesn't like it, right? And then you say to him, okay, well, what about Paramore? It's like, yeah, okay, Paramore did it well, you know, but, you know, I just, it, this is a friend of mine. He's like, oh, I don't like female vocals in rock. I don't think they belong in rock. It's like, okay, cool. That's his opinion. Mm. You know what I mean? And I think it's a really valid, a very mature thing to say, okay, dude, why not? Like, not a, oh, why not, you dickhead, but, you know, why not? Like, what's your reason? Because 9 times out of 10, people aren't being, you know, assholes or misogynist. Misogynistic? Mm-hmm. Is that the word? Yeah.
Misogynistic,
they're not being misogynistic.
Yeah.
They're just saying, look, this is not what I like. And I think something that a takeaway from a lot of things for me is, you know, someone's opinion doesn't make them a bad person. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean that just because they don't like X, Y, or Z. It's like, for me, it's the equivalent of saying I don't like chocolate cake. I mean, you'd have to be a nutter to not to like chocolate cake, but that's the point. The point is, if someone doesn't like chocolate cake, they don't like chocolate cake. You know what I mean? It's not the end of the world. And it's the same thing with this. And so long as someone can articulate, you know, why don't you like that? Oh, I don't like the frequency. Like, I just don't like it. It doesn't sound right to me. You know, it's like, okay, cool. You know, don't get off your bike because someone says, I don't like X, Y, or Z. You know, and then, you know, there's a lot of stuff around now, I think, where because a particular something has, for example, a woman fronting it, or, you know, it's a African-American person in the band, or it's an Aboriginal person in the band or something, everyone sort of goes, oh, I sort of have to like it, you know, because if I say that I don't like it, then people go, oh, well, you're being racist or you're being sexist or something like that. Which I think is something from the other side of the fence.
What you're describing there is called, has a name. It's called the Bradley effect.
Yes.
It's a theory concerning observed discrepancies between voter opinion polls and election outcomes in government elections where a white and non-white candidate run against each other. People sort of, they have to like it because it contains the whatever. You know, it has women
opinion,
or it has...
I suppose.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wish we could just get away from that and just, oh, yes, I really like this or I don't really like this, and you don't have to justify yourself because of, you know, political correctness.
Exactly. And I think that's the flip side as well for a lot of women, because women have been doing that for years. You know, you can't do that because you're a woman. You can't do that because you're female, you know. And they've had to justify themselves for so many years, and I think that's fucking wrong.
Still, absolutely. Still, do today as well.
And still do, exactly, that's correct. And I think now the tables have turned almost where guys are starting to have to do that, and a lot of guys don't like doing that. You know, I'm one of them. I don't like having to justify myself to anyone. You know, particularly not if I just say, man, I don't like it. I don't like X. Oh, why not? I said, well, I just don't. Like, it's just not something that I enjoy. You know, like Cookie Monster vocals, right? I have copped. You've seen some of the flack I've copped for not liking screamo vocals.
Yeah, I've copped the same flack too as well.
You know? You don't like it. I mean, well, don't you like metal? No, I do like metal. I just prefer to hear my lyrics. I don't want to have to read the lyric book. You know,
controversial opinion. This is the great thing about Opeth. Since Mikhail Akerfeld went away from the screamy vocal, from the death growl vocals, and into the cleaner style, boy, has he copped flack from certain sectors of the Opeth fan community. Oh, you know, make Opeth growl again. You know, those sorts of cracks are made, jokes are made online. I happen to prefer the stuff that doesn't have the growling in it. You know, that's just a personal preference. And, I cop flack from fans of Opeth saying, you know, oh, you don't like it. You don't like the death valve. Why the hell not? You know?
Yeah. And I think that's really key, particularly in the music industry, where you've got, I mean, as you mentioned, you've got a history of sexism. You've got a history of, you know, old white men, you know, slapping their assistants on the ass as they walk out the door, and all are calling them toots and all that kind of stuff. You know, they're in probably most of the arts industries, in actual fact, have been horrendously, horrendously sexist. And I think it's great to see, you know, some brilliant, brilliant musicians coming forward who are female. You know, I mean, you've got Annie Haslam, Sonia Christina, you know, Kate Bush, as you mentioned, Laurie Anderson. You know, there's so many that are coming out now. There's a band called, in actual fact, I gave you one of their albums to listen to at the tail end of last year, the Lydian Collective.
Yes.
The drummer for that is a female. There's also
back when we were doing the album reviews.
Yeah, exactly. Which will
come back one day.
Yeah, and there's also a really, really talented, I think she's Canadian girl by the name of Elise Trow. On YouTube, she got famous because she did this mashup of I think it was Everlong and a Bobby Caldwell song. I can't remember what the song was, but she's got this voice, mate, and I'm telling you, I'll put it in the show notes. It is unbelievable. You hear her sing and their hairs stand up on the back of your neck. You know, just unbelievable. You know, but there's bands like Schooltree, there's bands like, you know, I Am the Morning, Glass Hammer, you know, Corpamente. And it's really cool to see. I think it's really, really cool to see these women in prog, women in rock, starting to, you know, almost rule the roost.
Absolutely. I was gonna. I'll throw a link in the show notes to. There is a playlist that Artist Catharsis Records have got, sort of featuring a bunch of artists on their label. I was gonna bring this up a bit later on, but I was flipping through the list while you were talking there, and there are 29 songs on the list, and I'd say probably a third of them feature artists or bands that have females in them. So I'm going to throw that list in the show notes. There is quite a lot of new stuff on that list. And our next episode that we'll be putting out is a little short episode of an interview that I did at Progfest with Hashashin. Lachlan Dale being the guitarist, among other stringed instruments in that band, also runs Artist Catharsis. We've mentioned him on the show a couple of times. Hopefully one day we'll do an interview with him where we can sort of dive into Artist Catharsis, a really interesting setup there that I wanted to get into and talk to him about that. So I'm going to put that link in the show notes, the Spotify playlist for Artist Catharsis. There are a lot of female artists on that list. Yeah. Check them out.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you very much for listening from wherever you are in the world. It's always really great for us to receive emails and say, you know, hey, thanks for doing the show. Thanks for doing the podcast. Meeting you guys at shows and things like that kind of makes us, you know, the hours of work that we put into this every fortnight, and there are hours that go into it, makes it all worth it. Next time on the 9-8 podcast, one thing we'll be making a return, and that is our album reviews. So stay tuned for that, because we guarantee we've got quite a few to get through since the last time we did those. But until next time, happy International Women's Day. My name is David Ellis.
My name is Alex Hogg, and we shall see you all next time.
See you then.
See ya.